And last week I actually spoke on brokenness, and judging from how many responses I got, it seems like we all deal with brokenness at times. The idea is sometimes we go through things, and when we're broken, we're trying to figure out if God still has a use for us, you know, if there's a reason for the brokenness. And so it was a great message last week. I just enjoyed the response from it because it was like, it told me, okay, other people are right where I'm at. Sometimes I go through things and I go through broken times of brokenness, and it's like you try to come through the other side and seeing whether or not God's still using you in that way, that you're broken, but God can still use you. And so that kind of is what brought me into this week saying that we're the light of the world. And we're going to look at some scriptures this morning and everything, but it was one of those ideas, and at the end of the service, we'll do this, but I got to have props. And last week, I didn't have props. So this week, we're all going home with light sticks. But you can't have them now because I know how each of you are. You're all five-year-olds inside. And if I give you the light stick now, you're going to break them before I'm ready for you. And you're going to start playing with them. And you're not going to keep your hands to yourselves. And you're going to be passing around light sticks and everything else. So everybody's going home with a light stick, but we're going to do it at the end of the service, and you'll see the impact on that at the end. But so light up your world. So I'm talking about the word light, and it was funny because, so me and my preparations and stuff like that, I was just curious how many times the word light appeared in the scripture. Anybody got a guess? Just to throw out a guess. How many guess? 1,000? 10? 654. Okay. 8? All right, so somewhere between 0 and 500. Maybe like halfway in the middle. 250, look at that, and right on that, good job. So 250 times the word light is found in the Bible. And what I found even more interesting was that's actually more than the words believe, the word faith, the words grace, or joy, or wisdom. So many of these words that, you know, we share as Christians, and we talk about God's grace, and we talk about the joy, you know, of salvation. We talk about, you know, believe, you know, if everyone believes on his name, then they'll be saved. You know, we talk about faith, having faith in God, that no matter what we go through, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And we think of all these times these words are mentioned, but the word light is actually mentioned more times in the scriptures than those other words. So, to begin with this morning, I'm going to open up with this, and that is the basic characteristics of light. Some of the basic characteristics of light. When we think of light, and then God said, let there be light, and there was bright, shining lights in your face. So when we say light, okay, what do we think of normally? And I think of Lisa. But beyond Lisa, what do we think of normally when we think of lights? So the first thing is light can be, all right, light can be, and the first thing is reflected. You know, the idea is that surfaces reflect light, you know, mirrors and certain surfaces that reflect light, light can be reflected. It can be scattered or dispersed. You know, there's ways in which light can be broken down. In fact, there's principles of light that are wave-like, and there's principles of light that are particle-like. And so when light is scattered, okay, light can be interfered with. This morning, as the praise team was worshiping and getting ready for service, and they were enjoying their worship songs and music, and they were singing out, and I was back there with the projector, and I was making the, can we do it here? We can't really do it here because it's all evenly dispersed, but I was playing bunny ears back on the back screen because they looked at the back screen. And so somebody else has done that, right? Where you do the light thing, you do the bunny ears, or you do the animals. Pastor's like, nope, never done that. But anyway, so light can be interfered with. You know, it can be blocked. It can be interfered with. Light can be dimmed, put out. You can turn off the lights. Lisa, can we demonstrate how to turn off the lights without messing you up too much? See, we can turn off lights. And then we can turn them back on. I know you want me to turn the mic off too, right? But the idea is that lights can be dimmed. They can be put out. They can be turned off. And the other thing is light can be absorbed. And so there's objects, though. So when you think about light, objects transmit light differently. So there's objects that are opaque. They absorb the light. All right? So they don't let the light pass through them. All right? So objects transmit light differently. They're opaque. They absorb light. They don't let light pass through them. Things that are hardened, you know, things like stone, things like wood, things like metals, you know, solid objects, you know. It's like that's letting light through it, but, you know, this is casting a shadow because it's not letting the light pass through it, okay? So opaque. Translucent objects, they're the things that allow light to pass through them, but they distort or scatter the light that passes through them. So if you think about like a frosted glass, you know, if you ever seen like, I think it's the coolest thing. So I'm an HGTV DIY junkie. Like, so, you know, most guys, for lack of a better term, it's like either have like the news on during the day. Sometimes I'll have ESPN on during the day. But man, there's a lot of times you walk into my house at any given time. I can be in the office in the dining room area there by the computer or working on a sermon or doing whatever. And I got DIY on, HGTV's on in my living room just because I don't know what it is, but I like, oh, let me go check out what that project is, that gazebo they're doing or whatever they're rebuilding. And there's this really cool frosted glass thing that you can flip a switch. And so you can have a shower glass door, right? And it's glass. It's clear glass. You can see right through it, just like any glass shower would. And when you flip the switch to turn on the fan or whatever in your shower and stuff like that for the ventilation, all that, it actually frosts over the glass and makes it translucent. That's the word that we're trying to look at this morning. So the next one after opaque is translucent. And so the idea is that it allows the light to pass through, but it distorts it. It scatters it. And so like frosted glass. Some plastics are also translucent. Lampshades. You know, they cover the light, but there's still light that kind of passes through, but it gets distorted. And then the last thing is transparent objects. They allow the light to easily pass through them. And so you got air, lets light pass through it. You got water, and then clear glass also is transparent. So I was looking at that because I was thinking about the idea of light and thinking about how the Bible talks about light. It's like I feel like you had to understand a little bit of just what light is and just some of the basic principles and characteristics of light. But now let's look to the scriptures. And the first thing here we're going to look at, biblical principles of light, is that first thing is God is the source of light. And it's interesting for us to think about this, but it's like, you know, we think of light sources that we have lights that we turn on, turn off, whatever. We think of the sun, the moon, the stars. You know, we think of different sources of light. But you got to realize that Scripture talks about God creating all of that. And so we're going to look in Genesis chapter 1. God is the source of light. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me. You can look up the screen if you don't. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, it says this: "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. And God saw the light, that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and the morning, and it was the first day." And what's interesting here is that then if you look at the account of creation, that the sun, moon, and stars were created later. That here, God himself is the source of light. He himself is that which created light, that which brought light into existence, and he himself is the source of light. In fact, even in the New Jerusalem, when we talk about in the book of Revelation that God's going to restore a new heaven and a new earth, in Revelation 21:23, it says the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamp. And so the idea is that God is the source of light. We know from Scripture that God is love, that God is the source of love. And so here in Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, we learn that God is the source of light. But there when it talks about the Lamb being its lamp, that brings me to the next biblical principle, which is this: Jesus is the light of the world. We find that in a passage in John. In John chapter 8, verses 12 through 18. John chapter 8, verse 12 through 18. Jesus spoke again to the people and he says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And the Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are. You're appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." And Jesus answered, "Well, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. For I know where I came from and where I'm going, but you have no idea where I come from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions will be true, or are true, because I'm not alone. For I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself, and my other witness is the Father who sent me. And in John chapter 12 and 46 it says this, I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in the darkness. See, Jesus is the light of the world. The scripture tells us that it's by his testimony and the word of the Father. So by the scriptures we learn that Jesus is referred to or called the light of the world. That God is the source of light, and that Jesus is the light of the world, so that basically we can find through the testimony of the Father, through the scriptures, and through Jesus' own testimony, that Jesus came into the world to be the light of the world. Okay? And in that way, the darkness that's in the world, that which is separated from God, can actually be restored to God again, and we actually will have light in the world. That's the way God intended it. It's the way God created it, for there to be a light, which is his source, coming from him, and that we're all open to it, that we're all able to see the light of God revealed through Christ. That brings me to the next biblical principle, which is this. As Christians, Jesus says, we're lights of the world. And it actually is a scripture, and we're going to look at that in a second, but it actually talks about that we're the light of the world. And I was sharing in a huddle this morning that it's like we all have a realm of influence. It's like whether it's your family, whether it's those you work with, whether it's your friends, whether it's your neighborhood, wherever you're at. And the title of the message is Light Up Your World. Because it's one of those things where we're supposed to be the lights of the world. That's what scripture teaches us. And so here it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16, you are the light of the world. A town that's built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, when you light, you ever lost power in the storm? How many of you were around for the October storm? So you go like a week or however many days without light, without power. And what was interesting about that was we were able to rig up a thing where we had like this lamp in the corner in the living room, like one of those like tall lamps, you know, you just turn it on in the corner and it kind of lights up the whole room. If you think about that times when you lose power, you lose light, do you ever light a candle or a flashlight and then stick it under the bed? Well, I mean, unless you're looking for the boogie monster, you know, at nighttime or something like that. But you don't do that because it covers the light. In other words, you put the light up. Like I remember in the bedrooms, it's like we put the flashlights up on top of the dressers, turned them on, and it shined up to the ceiling and dispersed the light over the whole room so you could get dressed and get changed and stuff like that for bed. You know what I mean? It's like you put the light up on its stand so that everybody around you can see the light. And that's what scripture says we are. That we're the lights of the world. We're the ones that God puts up on the stand so that other people can see him through us. So that other people can see the light of Jesus Christ shining in your life and in mine. And that we have our world. And we're supposed to light up our world. Light up your world. Now, why do we do this? Why is it that God's plan is there for us to light up the world? Why is it that, you know, we just don't have this immaculate, you know, magical, you know, spiritual light that everybody sees up in the sky? You ever seen the clouds and you see the sun rays that come down through the clouds? Do you know what I'm talking about? You see the sun rays come down through the clouds? I always picture that when Jesus comes again, it's going to be like that. It's going to be these huge rays of light that it doesn't matter what kind of day it is. It don't matter what kind of night it is. It don't matter how dark it is, that there's just going to be this ray of light that comes from Jesus Christ, that God's going to open up the heavens, and there's just going to be these rays of sunshine, but it's going to be Jesus Christ, the Son of God, shining, whether it's day or night. And that's how I picture when Jesus comes again. So the idea is, as Christians, we're supposed to be the light of the world. But how and why are we the light? And the first thing there in that verse it says is to see what we do and how we live. See, Jesus makes us, or God says, we're the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. And then Jesus says, you're the light of the world, so that other people can see him. And the way they're going to see him is by seeing how you live. And that's humbling, that's sobering, to think that how you live is how other people see Jesus. And it literally comes down to that. That it's like, in order for them to see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I mean, it really doesn't matter how successful you are in life. It doesn't matter how rich you are, how much money you got. It doesn't matter how many things you've done, you know, for, helping out a neighbor. I mean, that's all work for God, but I'm trying to say, it doesn't matter how many accomplishments you have in your life. The reality is the things that you do for God, the way you reach other people, pastor talks about it all the time. As a church, we're trying to be good neighbors. Like, we're trying to reach out to the community around us. You know, we're helping the families when their houses burn down, you know, and maybe we're not throwing $100,000 at them, but every little bit helps. And when we got like a card or something or another, it was some kind of message we got back from them, and it meant the world to them. That we don't even, they don't come to our church, and we reached out to minister to someone in our community. And a lot of you are involved. I know there's a lot of them that ride the motorcycles and go and do these fundraisers and these charity events and stuff like that. And then we've helped kids in schools get backpacks. We've given coats and all these things. In order for people to see God and the source of light that he offers, in order for people to see Jesus Christ, they want to see how you live. And they want to see what you do that lets Jesus Christ shine through you. And the last why that I'm going to share is to glorify God. See, when we gather together for Sunday mornings, when we have worship on Sunday mornings, everything we do as Christians should be to glorify God. And so the way we live and letting our light shine is so that when we let our light shine, others can see the good works and they will glorify God for how you live. They will glorify God. God will be glorified because of the light of the world that's through us. And then that brings me to the next one is this, is we are to walk in the light. So as Christians, so in order for you to allow the light to pass through you, you know, I think of like something like this. In order for you to let the light pass through you where you can't even see a shadow of that bottle of water, okay? In order for you to let the light pass through you, you have to walk in the light. See, I can sit here and I can speak just as comfortably from here. In fact, in some ways, life sometimes is actually more comfortable in the dark. Isn't it easy sometimes to live in the dark? Isn't it easy to sometimes live in the shadows? Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes the world makes it really easy for us as Christians if we just don't give too much Jesus. If as Christians we don't give too much light, if we just sit in the shadows in the dark and we just kind of play along with the world's game, if we just live our lives in the darkness, the world makes it really easy for us to do that because they don't want to be faced with the bright lights of Jesus Christ that comes out of us if we let it shine through us. So we need to shine in the light, but we need to walk in the light for that light to pass right through you. And so it gets really comfortable to walk in the light. And there's a lot, or in darkness, excuse me, there's a lot of times where it's really easy to just kind of hover, maybe even in between. You know, sometimes, Sunday mornings, hey, praise Jesus. Monday. Maybe even Tuesday. And sometimes it's really easy to sit there in the dark. Because the world makes it really easy for you to do that too, because they're more comfortable not having light shine on their sin, not having light shine on where they're living, because it's difficult to live, to be honest, in the light, because sometimes you get that bright light, and it challenges you to look inside a little bit. You ever shined a light like? And I remember I used to, but inside like your mouth, your cheek or something, and then you see it shining out the other side of your cheek or your skin, you know, sometimes you can see, you get a bright flashlight, you know, and you can kind of see it go through your hand or something like that. If you haven't done that, you got to do these things. My daughter's totally big on the whole like science experiments and making concoctions of things or whatever, but there are some really fun experiments you can do with light. And, we're supposed to walk in the light as Christians. And so in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, it says this, "This is the message that we've heard from him, and we declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet we walk in the darkness, then we're lying. And we do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. You ever feel like you're losing out on fellowship and you're not connecting with other Christians? You know, you're just kind of wavering. Maybe you kind of feel out of the loop of things and you're just kind of really feeling disconnected from God and disconnected from Christians and faith and stuff like that. Well, maybe you found yourself walking here. See, if we walk in the light, God is the light, and we have fellowship one with another when we walk in the light of Jesus Christ. See, fellowship takes place in the light. So we need to gather together as fellowship of other believers so that we can encourage each other and shine brighter together because we're walking in the light and we have fellowship in the light. In Psalm 119, 105, it says this, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." See, as Christians, we need to be transparent. What I love is, I mean, Pastor and I from the beginning, and Zokas and many others that are here, when we started Cornerstone, one of the things we talked about was the idea is that, you know what, we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to let each other down. We're going to be hurt by one another, or we're going to hurt each other. Sometimes we go through things. I mean, that's the nature of relationships. And we are people, and the church is the people. See, the church isn't some stained glass windows. The church is not this building. You came to church this morning, you didn't come to Scout Hall Youth Center. So the church are the people. And the idea is that when we walk in the light, when we gather together in the light, the idea is that as people, we need to be transparent with one another. We need to be transparent with God. I love it because it's like we have a pastor that throughout the ministry and throughout the years has taught me and taught us about transparency. And the idea is that sometimes you just have to fall on your knees. Last week when I spoke about brokenness, there are times in your life when you're broken and you got no other place to go but your knees. You got to go before the Lord in prayer. But the idea is, as Christians, we need to be transparent because transparent objects let the light pass through them. And so as Christians, we need to be transparent because Jesus Christ is shining down bright on you. And if you walk in the light, then Jesus Christ shines through you. And then it's not about you. It's not about how you live. It's not about what you're doing. All glory and honor goes to Jesus Christ because he's the light of the world. He's the one shining through you. And everybody else is going to see him and not you. And so the idea is, but here's the problem. There's a lot of churches. And you know what? I'd be naive if I said that there wasn't anybody in our church like this as well, that we get into a stage of translucence. Translucency? I'm going to make up that word, Sarah. All right. So here's the idea. Pastor can make up words. I'm married to the master of the English language because I can make up words. So here we go. Translucency. Is that even a word? I don't know if that's a word or not. All right. So the idea is there's a lot of Christians that maybe they're letting some light come through, but it gets distorted. And the idea is translucent objects, they let light come through, but it's kind of like a lampshade. You're kind of dimming that light down. The people that see how you live and what you're doing in your life, they're not seeing the light and the glory of God. They're seeing kind of a filtered out light that comes out after you. And so that translucent light, and honestly, I mean, I think a scripture talks about the idea of false teachers. And so I think that, you know, it's like if there's preachers that are false teachers, or there's, you know, churches and stuff like that, that don't teach the gospel, that don't teach the word of God, then it's like maybe there's some translucent Christians in those churches that are distorting the truths of scripture. And that's that translucent Christians that are distorting the scriptures, that are allowing some of it to pass through, but they're kind of dimming it and distorting it. And they're those that misrepresent Christ. They're not letting the full glory of God shine through them. And then there's those that are opaque, and we shouldn't seek to be those that are opaque Christians, and that is those that are absolutely blocking the light, where everybody that comes out after you, and man, you do a really good job with the lights because I can't get a shadow in here. But the idea is that it's like, if you've got like the shadow here underneath this stool, you know, it's like we got Christians that are sometimes so much, they live in the darkness so much themselves
that then all of a sudden when they're stepping out into the light and they think, man, I got it going for God. I've done this for God. I've done that for God. You know, it's like I got God in my life. I'm reading my Bible. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. But meanwhile, when Tuesday through Friday shows up or Saturday shows up or whatever day of the week they're living in the darkness, then when somebody else is looking to them for that transparency, somebody else is looking for the glory of God to shine through them, all they see on the other side is a shadow. And so the idea is that we need to be transparent Christians. We need to be those that are open to living in the light and walking in the light and not those that are blocking the light and not those that are misrepresenting Christ and dimming that light. And the last thing is God's light is not to be hidden. In Luke chapter 11, verses 33 to 36, it says this, "No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden, or put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand so that those who come in can see the light. Your eye is the lamp of the body, and when your eyes are healthy, your whole body is full of light. And when they're unhealthy, your body is also full of darkness. So see to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it is dark, it'll be just as full of light as when the lamp shines its light on you." See, the idea is that we are to not just absorb what God gives us in our lives, but we're to be shining bright for Him. And so the idea is that even when Jesus is shining on you, even when Jesus' light is shining on you, and you can know that you're walking in the light, that the what comes after you is so bright that it's like the world doesn't see any difference between you and Jesus because they're seeing Jesus coming through you. And so the idea is that we need to be walking in the light, living in the light. And the reason is because you know what? When we fill ourselves up with darkness, when what comes through our eyes and comes through our lives and enters into you is darkness, and when we live in that dark place, then there's not some kind of bright light coming out on the other side. There's not anything that's pointing other people to Jesus Christ. There's not anything that's pointing others to live and walk in the light. And this is where God meant us to be, is to light up your world. So here's the last thing here is, what are some things that hide that light of Jesus? And the first thing, the most obvious thing, is darkness or sin. So what hides the light? Okay. I didn't read a verse. That's why you were at that other verse, weren't you? You were at John chapter 3, Don? Is that where you're at? Here we go. John chapter 3. Let me share that verse with you, okay? And then I'll get to the last point. This is the verdict then. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly, so that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. And then it brings me to this last little part here, and that is, what hides the light of Jesus Christ in our lives? And the first thing, the most obvious thing, is darkness or sin. Living in sin, living in darkness, is something that hides the light. It prevents you from allowing your life to be transparent and allowing you to live in the light of Jesus Christ so that everybody else behind you is seeing Jesus Christ flow through you. And so the second thing is what hides the light is that guilt and that shame. Guilt and shame in your life brings shadows and keeps other people, and sometimes when you're so guilty or shameful about something, you find yourself hovering in between, living in the light and living in the darkness. And you know what? It's not really that dark. I mean, truthfully, there's still lights on. I can see you. Can you see me right now? So the idea is the world might still see you. You may even let the world know that you're a Christian. You might even let the world see you as a Christian every so often on Sunday morning. Maybe not. But the idea is if we're living in the darkness and then there's some areas of our lives that's guilt and shame, then when we step out into the light, all the world is seeing is a shadow cast behind us. Okay? And so that's that opaque. That's that distortion that takes place when there's guilt and shame. What else hides the light? Negative feelings. When we go through anything. I mean, we go through some kind of struggle or whatever, and I talked about it last week with the whole idea of brokenness. It's like we need to recognize those detours, those times of brokenness, as opportunities for God to heal, to mend, and to use you for His glory. The idea is that it's the brokenness is not something to be ashamed of. It's like God oftentimes allows brokenness to come to our lives. And He often allows pain to come to our lives because it's for His purpose and for His glory. And so the idea is that, but it is one of those things that when you go through things, when you go through the struggles in life, when you have a relative that's sick or dying, or when you have a loss in your life, when you suffer a job loss, when you suffer financial troubles, when you go through something and you suffer, the question is, what do people see coming out of you? Do they see the light and the hope of Jesus Christ, or do they see negativity? Do they see like a response to what God is allowing in your life in a positive way or in a negative way? And if it's negative, then it could be something that dims that light that Jesus Christ is shining through you. Defeatist attitudes. Those attitudes that, you know, you're just always feeling defeated and everything gets you down, and it's like those can dim the light. Those can hide the light. Complaining spirits. Those can dim the light. Those can hide the light. I mean, if it's absolutely one of those things where you find yourself, and sometimes in relationships where all they ever do is complain, you know as well as I do, it just seems like it takes the light right out of you when you're around that relationship, when you're around that person. So dimming the light, taking the light of it out of you, hiding the light, complaining spirit. And the last thing there is misplaced priorities. You know, I kind of picture it this way, that it's one of those things that it's like, I was talking about like the flashlight, you know, and it's like, if you have the light, if you have the flashlight, and you stick it under the bed, and in your life, that's how you treat God and Jesus Christ. That every once in a while, you kind of bring them out when you need to search for something, you know, when you're kind of like, okay, God, I'm searching right now, I'm struggling, so I'm going to bring out the flashlight and search for something. And then other people might see it for that little time that you bring that flashlight out of the closet and kind of let it shine around a little bit, and they realize, oh, he's a Christian, you know, because he shared a verse on Facebook, you know. But then it's like they see you at work or they see you any other place, and then it's like, okay, wait, that guy's a Christian? So, you know, it's like, you know, it's one of those things where if we misplace our priorities and we don't put Jesus Christ first and we don't walk in the light and we don't let Jesus Christ and the light shine through us, then all that's going to be on the other side is at least, at the very least, dim light. And at the worst, misplaced priorities puts us in darkness and there is nothing but shadow underneath of us. And so we need to walk and we need to live in the light. And I got a kind of a funky illustration here to do this, and so I'm going to ask my ushers to help me. And so we got some glow sticks, and so we want everybody to grab a glow stick, and so make sure everyone gets one, pass one down, take it around, grab a glow stick, and make sure everyone gets one. And so before I share the walk away, so I don't want the walk away up there yet, I'll share that in just a moment. So before I share the walk away, I want to share this. And that is, last week I talked about brokenness. And don't you know that in order for these light sticks to work, you got to break them. And you might even have to break them in a couple places. You might have to kind of go down the whole thing. And if it's one of those things where I've learned anything, is sometimes in life you go through times of brokenness, but sometimes it seems like God just shakes your life up too. You know, that all of a sudden, you know, you're going through some kind of problem, you're going through something, and your life just feels completely chaotic, like there is literally somebody shaking you, and maybe it's God trying to get your attention. But if it's one of those things I've learned in life, is that when it comes to being the light of the world, okay, when it comes to being God's light, that whether we go through a time of brokenness, whether it's something that's in our lives that's kind of shaking us up a little bit, maybe those are the times that bring us to God. Maybe those broken times or those light times. And by the way, and I said this last week, I absolutely believe that your true beliefs will be revealed in your times of brokenness. Like how you live your life and how you help others when they go through times of brokenness. When somebody else goes through a time of brokenness, do you take them to the bottle or do you take them to the Bible? When somebody else goes through brokenness, do you take them to the bottle or do you take them to the Bible? When you bring out Jesus Christ, you get the light of Jesus Christ shining through you. When you walk and live in the light, then there is light coming out of you that is so bright that they can't tell the difference between your light and the light of Jesus Christ. And any light, even one light, and I'm going to ask you all the lights, ushers, if I can get the lights off, please. And Lisa, we're going to do this. Get all the lights off. And I know we can't get it completely dark in here, but can you see that your light is shining brighter to you than the pervading light coming in from other sources? That light is yours. You are to light up your world. Now, what you're going to realize in this illustration about these glow sticks, they don't light up that far from you, do they? Like, you're probably not going to light up your neighbor's world, even if you're sitting right next to them. So understand this. When it comes to lighting up your world, you have to let your light shine so other people can see Jesus Christ through you. Because your little light, and I know Elizabeth wanted to sing it this morning, but we don't have time. Liz, it's not in the budget. Pastor, you'll get that joke in a second. But the idea is that this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And if you ever went to church in children's church or a VBS program or something like that, you've probably heard that little chorus, that little song. But I will share this with you, and this is the walk away, okay? This is the walk away. Be the light that helps others see the light. Be the light that helps others see the light of Jesus Christ. And realize that the people in your world may not be lit up by somebody else's light stick. The people that are in your world are looking for you to shine your light.